Welcome to the Wild Adventures Podcast, the podcast where we get to hear people's life stories and see where they've identified adventure in their life. My hope for you as a listener is that you come away from this podcast inspired to make every day an adventure. So I'm your endlessly curious host, Marlene Lowe, and my passion is in hearing and collecting your stories. Before we get on to today's episode, make sure to follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram, which is the Wild Adventures Podcast. And if you would like to share your story, then please contact me at contact@thewildadventurespodcast.com. Andrea Page is known as the Cancer Alchemist, and she works with clients that have cancer to integrate natural therapies in creating a personalized, holistic cancer recovery program. Today we hear her campfire story, and it's all about how she moved away from healthcare in Canada to running her own business in Costa Rica with her family, homeschooling her kids, and spending each day with a healthy work-life balance.
Okay, so I'm originally from Canada, and I've been in Costa Rica now for about 6 years. The end of this month, actually, next week will be 6 years since we arrived. Before that, I worked in healthcare in Canada, was heavily ingrained in the system. I worked in radiation therapy, so I was treating patients every single day for many years. And, you know, I went into healthcare. I mean, I worked in different aspects of healthcare as well before the radiation oncology. And so my whole career has been based around healthcare. But I went into cancer because I wanted to help people and I wanted to make a difference. And I feel like on some level I probably did. But I would say a couple of years in, I was starting to see like, there seems to be more to this than just the treatments that we're offering. So I actually went on my own journey of exploration that lasted, well, basically up until now, but I started reading books and I started listening to other people and I started taking courses and I saw that there's like a vast array of complementary and supportive therapies that you can do in conjunction with cancer therapies. And those resonated so much more deeply with me that I started to feel like maybe I should shift here at some point. But then I had a baby and then I had another baby and, you know, things kind of like life just carries on. And then one summer, and so I was juggling working shift work with two babies, which was challenging in itself. And I was really getting to the point where I was like, I knew that my heart wanted to do something different. And one summer, so this would have been the summer of 2014, where I went, I had watched this documentary about this alternative therapy. And then, this guy was treating these kids with these pediatric tumors that were basically with conventional medicine, they had a 100% failure rate. All these kids that got this died. And I watched this documentary where this guy was taking these children and through his treatment, he was having a 50% success rate. So he was saving half of these kids. And part of his treatment was through the FDA, he was only allowed to treat them if all other treatments had failed. So he got them like really late stage in the game and was still able to turn it around. And so I watched this documentary, it was like a Tuesday night. And on Wednesday morning, I went into work and shit you not, the first two patients of the day were two kids and they both had these tumors. And I was like, this is not a coincidence, you know, when there's like these synchronistic moments that happen in your life and it's like, this is happening for a reason. And there had been some other things. Like I had had this one patient that I was treating and he had a stomach cancer and normally he doesn't do well in the treatment. Like those kind of treatments are really toxic because you're treating such like a sensitive organ. And this guy was like flying through treatment. And he wasn't losing weight. He was still eating. Like his energy levels were good. Like he came in smiling every single day. And over the years, you know, we had these kinds of patients few and far between. And I started started to get curious about it. And I would ask them questions like, what are you doing? What are you eating? You know, like through, because I'd been learning my own things. And I was like, I bet those people are like changing their diet. And they're like, probably doing like some sort of mindfulness. And so, and sure enough, that like, they weren't doing all of these things, but they had definitely changed aspects within their lifestyle and their life. Yeah. And this guy, for sure, he had cut out like gluten and wheat, and he had cut out dairy, and he was like juicing, and he was doing all these things to support himself in his treatment without guidance. Like he was just had probably read some books and was doing this on his own. So he I think I treated him like on Monday, and then this happened on Wednesday with these kids. And I went home and I said to my partner, I was like, I don't think I can go to work anymore. And so the next, like within a few weeks, I had like given my resignation. And it, I mean, this is after many, many years, right? And so, and then we just decided like, well, we should just go traveling for a year. And then it turned into us selling everything we owned and buying camping gear. And we left Canada with a minivan and camping gear, one box of toys for the kids and our clothes. Like literally everything we owned was in our van. And our kids were 2 and 3 at the time. They were little, right? And we just started driving. And so we went down the West Coast of the US, and then we went all the way across Southern US, and we ended up in Florida. And then we hung out there for a couple months, and then we were like, we should go to Central America. So then we packed up, we left our stuff in Florida, and then we just came to Costa Rica with clothes, basically. And that would have been 6 years ago. And so we came for 3 months, and basically we've been here since. So we've done trips, like we've gone to other places, and we've gone back to Canada, and we go to Florida periodically, but like, this has definitely been more of our home base than anywhere else.
Yeah. So what was it about Costa Rica that made you go, this is home now? Like, well, what made you not continue the journey?
Well, Costa Rica, I mean, in terms of Central American living, this is the safest. You can drink the water. It's fairly developed. Like I would say it's not like a third world country. Like it's not rugged and edgy, like say Honduras or Nicaragua. Like it's fairly safe here. People are super friendly. I mean, it's so, especially when we came here with our kids, because it's just so inspired by nature. Like you're just surrounded by beauty all of the time, and the beaches, and we just saw a different lifestyle for ourselves where our work and play was more balanced.
Yeah.
So, you know, and at first I would say we hustled more because we were like, okay, so now we're not working there. We need to transition to something else. And so we started our online businesses and we were hustling with that for a little bit, but now I would say we're pretty balanced in terms of our work and play.
Yeah. So what do you guys do for work now then?
So my partner does business coaching and kind of like life coaching combined, because he helps people discover what their dream life looks like and then helps them realize that.
Wow.
And then I transitioned to just like holistic cancer therapy. So I do a combination of nutrition, herbs and supplements, some psychotherapy. I do like emotional healing, like, you know, really looking at the root cause of cancer and why people have that. So definitely more of like a holistic, I wouldn't say alternative because I don't like to use that term because people think like it's an either or scenario. So I help people where they want the support and I sort of guide them. So if they're like, most of my clients go through conventional therapy and I just support them with the other therapies that you can do with that. And then sometimes I have people that just want to do the holistic route and they don't want to do the conventional. So it's really about just meeting people where they're at and helping them with what they need.
So what do you think makes a person want, well, this seems like a really silly question, but you've got the people that will decide just to go for a conventional, what people are used to, what society says you need to do, but what is it that takes people to decide to look at another viewpoint or complement it with something else?
I think because now, the really amazing thing that's happened in the last 5 years, especially since I transitioned, is that there's a lot more information coming out about complementary and alternative and holistic therapies. And so I think like there's a series called The Truth About Cancer. I think they've done like 3 series now. There's a lot more practitioners that are more vocal about it. And so I think that the awareness has increased, and also that people mm-hmm. just realize that we can't just focus on these therapies. Like, we need to be doing other things in our life, even just prevention, preventing recurrence, right? Like, why did we get this? And what do we need to change to prevent it from coming back? So
I guess. Wow. I can't even imagine being in that sphere. Like, helping people so personally and stuff like that must be so rewarding, but equally scary.
Yeah. I mean, I think I felt a bigger sense of burden when I first started out, because I was like, well, this is a big shift, because it basically swung from one side to the other. And now I see it more as a collaborative effort, because I'm just guiding, like, person has to do the work, right? And so, and this is, it's meant to be like a process of self-discovery of like, why is this in my life right now? What is it that I need to change? What is it that I need to heal? And when you can come at it from that space, because what I've seen and what I've experienced and observed over the years is that like the conventional method is really fear-based. And my approach is very like love-based, without sounding like too woo-woo, but it's like, I've seen firsthand and experienced people resolve this in their life without buying into the fear, right? It's like, there's some practical tools, like, okay, let's look at what you're eating. Let's look like, are you getting enough sleep? Are you moving enough? You know, there's like certain lifestyle aspects that should be addressed. And then it's like, okay, what is the shit that you're holding onto from the past that's no longer serving you, right? What are you doing in your life that may have contributed to this? And often like they've done a lot of research too that's shown that usually there's a trauma within 18 months to 5 years prior to the cancer diagnosis. And so looking at that aspect alone of just seeing like, okay, what was happening in your life leading up to this? And then can we change it? Can we heal it? Can we modify it? Right. And so we look at those sorts of things.
I suppose that really makes sense, because when your body is under stress, your mind is under stress, your body goes into reactionary mode or like protection mode. Like with chronic fatigue syndrome, which is an autoimmune disease, there's always a trigger. You can usually always find a trigger that puts you into full-blown chronic fatigue syndrome, where you might have just had the inklings before. Yeah. So it's quite interesting how that stress or not eating right, not living a healthy life really, really does impact us at a cellular level as well, which is certainly something I tend to forget sometimes as well, because it's not really a message that's always broadcast, is it? Or at least not in my world.
And actually there's a lot of parallels between say something like chronic fatigue syndrome, autoimmunity or autoimmune disorders and cancer. And so, I mean, we all have stress in our life, and it's like, how are we managing it? But there's usually like, there might be one sort of like a trigger or a set of triggers that kind of are the tipping point, sending us into our bodies sort of attacking itself.
Yeah.
So
fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. I can understand why you're into it. And it's like a giant puzzle that you get to solve. And it's so individual. Each person is a new puzzle trying to figure things out.
But a lot of the work that I do is actually just about empowerment, and it's better if they figure it out themselves. So
you know,
it's like through this process of questioning, where it's like, have you looked at this? And then allowing them to like sort of go through that process of self-discovery within themselves, because if they can figure it out, it's so much more powerful than for me. I can look at it from the outside and say like, oh yeah, you know, maybe you need to be sleeping more, maybe you should be cutting this out. And so there's like practical aspects, but like having them experience the aha moment within themselves, that's the magic.
Yeah. So how have you adapted to living in Costa Rica? Because that's quite a big shift from Canada.
It is. It's a huge shift. I mean, I would say the toughest thing about moving here, and I think people underappreciate when you move to a country, especially with a different language, is like, When we first moved here 6 years ago, we were like, oh, we're not gonna make any expat friends. We wanna like integrate into society. And so we moved into this neighborhood and we were like, only wanted to interact with Costa Ricans, but our Spanish was like terrible, right? And so I would say, yeah, like culturally, it's totally different here. In Canada and like North America and UK, I'm sure is busy. And we sort of measure our success based on our productivity or busyness. Whereas here, they really just like work to live. So in Costa Rica, they have this pura vida mindset, right? And everything's like pura vida. It's like, why do it today when you can do it tomorrow? And so it's like, but they just have this appreciation for like, we're living in this beautiful land. We should appreciate it, right? They don't aspire for material possessions the same way that we would do in, say, Western culture. But it's a shift. Mm-hmm. It's a big mindset shift when you're like work, and then you get here and people are like, yeah, they work and they make some money and then they stop working until they need more money and then they work again. And it's like, so, like culturally, it was a real mindset shift. Just like climate wise, it is hot here. In Canada, it is cold. And we came from winter to here. And so adapting to that, I would say my kids were like all over it. And now they've got like total pura vida mindset because they've been here longer than they were in Canada. So my kids are like 8 and 10 now. They're total jungle kids. They like climb trees and drink coconuts and run around with machetes. And so, but it's so amazing because how different would their life be, especially now? Like every day we talk about as a family, like how grateful we are to be here in this moment in time, because the reality is if we were in Canada, it would be a completely different experience for my children.
Oh, definitely. It's nice to hear that lifestyle still exists, because that's the childhood I had in the middle of nowhere in Africa. It was, the jungle baby, where you climbed trees and you played with rocks and sticks. And like my brother and our favorite place to go when we came back from boarding school, I went to the stationery aisle and he went to look at ropes. Like those were our toys.
Yeah, you have to get more creative.
Like that's where the happiness was. It was in the simple things. And yeah, climbing trees. And that's one thing that I find difficult in the Western world is that the kids I know are so attached to their electronics and being inside. And yeah, I know the weather doesn't help that, but the culture is so different here. And maybe that is because everyone is so busy that we don't live anymore. Whereas in what would be classed as third world countries, and I'm doing bunny ears, whatever they're called for anyone listening, there is that work-life balance to a much greater extent than there is here.
Definitely. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, my kids love electronics. They are like, they're into gaming. And it's a challenge as a parent, navigating the electronics and the technology in today's day and age. But I definitely am more mindful about balancing it out with time and nature, moving your body, using your mind. I homeschool my kids as well. So, you know, we homeschool in the mornings, and then usually the afternoons are a little bit more free play for them. And then, but I'm a little bit more rigid in terms of their technology time. So.
Yeah. Do you think you could have found that work-life balance if you were still in Canada?
I don't want to say no, but it's less likely for sure.
Yeah.
It's just like its environment, right? And when you get caught up in that.
Yeah. So what was the biggest, did you ever face a challenge, especially at the start, probably where you're like, nah, I'm going back to Canada. I can't do this anymore. Or I'm going to Florida. Can't stay here.
Only for like every day for the first 3 years. Well, because it's just different here. Everything is just so different. And like the bugs, for instance, I mean, there's like snakes and spiders. And I mean, especially our first house was really close to the beach. And the beach is like, we'd have like giant crabs in our living room, or like spiders the size of my hand. And it really freaked me out, because we just, things like that don't survive in Canadian winters. And so the bugs were a big thing for me to get over, kind of like all of the things that could possibly kill you. And if you know, you've been to Australia, it's very similar. And as a mom with young kids, it stressed me out. So there was that. I would say like the language was a barrier initially. I actually have a background in French. So it, for me, I found it really easy to pick up the language, but it definitely took time. But the jungle can be really harsh. And it definitely makes you stronger, or it spits you out, right? So we like, I can't tell you how many people we've seen over the years that have come and they're like, it's so beautiful here, I'm gonna move here. And like a year later, they're like, I hate it here, I'm going home. Because now it's easier to find more of the expat products. But when we were first here, like, I mean, you eat differently, right? You live differently. Finding nice things is like not always possible here. So you kind of get used to like material possessions that aren't maybe the greatest quality. So every day was a struggle for a while.
So when did you realize that that was home?
Probably within the last year.
Yeah.
Because I'm a wanderlust. So I had big dreams for our family to sort of travel the world and go to other places. And, you know, year after year, it was kind of like, okay, we've been here now a couple of years, like, let's go see something else. And then we would go. We've seen other countries in Central America. And you know, we've traveled across the US 3 times. We've done 3 major road trips. And so adventure is kind of like our way of life. But at one point I was like, okay, we need to go to like Asia and go buy a camper van and travel around New Zealand. And that was actually our plan before COVID started. We were going to go to New Zealand and we were going to buy a camper van. And then when everything shut down, obviously we're just like, okay, well, we'll wait it out. But really over that time, I came to really appreciate this place. Because it's just different than what's happening, certainly than what's happening in the news. And who knows if that stuff is true or not, but all I know is my own reality. And this is like every day I look at beautiful trees and mountains and I go and I stand in the water in the ocean. And I'm like, this is my reality. And this is pretty damn awesome. And I look at my kids and they're like, for the most part, pretty unaffected by this, you know, and because we homeschooled as well, there was no transition for us. We've been living like this for 5 years. So I definitely felt more of a sense of home to here.
Have you ever had, being a mom, have you ever had concerns about the kids growing up elsewhere?
In terms of what?
As in, like choosing to move from what's familiar to something completely different when you've got kids must be big in and of itself. But then that decision to homeschool them and take them out of, again, what society would see as normal, again, quotation marks. was that an easy decision for you or was it a hard decision?
Yeah, again, like I'm pretty adventurous. And so, I would say I really wanted to show that to my kids. And because we left Canada when they were so young, and then we would do these trips where we would go back to Canada, or we would go to the US and I would just see like my kids with the consumerism or the materialism of like toys. And like here, you don't even have a street light within like, I don't even know the closest street light. It's probably like an hour and a half away from us, like literally. So there's no like billboards on the side of the road for the new toys. They don't watch TV and see. So they're like totally removed from all of that here. So in terms of like, that's the kind of childhood I want them to have. And with the schooling, I mean, we've kind of been homeschooling kind of just happened for us because we had been moving around so often and we would be here for 6 months and then we would go travel for 2 months. And so the homeschooling kind of just worked around our lifestyle. And I mean, now they're 8 and 10 and they still haven't really been to school. So I think it works for us. I think it's scary for a lot of people. And I get this all the time. It's like, oh, I can never homeschool my kids. And it's like, well, if you're committed to the life that you want and you want to teach them in a way that's going to support them, who they are as a person and support their dreams and show them something different, then you can get behind it pretty easily.
Yeah. I think it sounds amazing. I think it sounds just, I can't even put words to it, but it's just so exciting that they get this tailored lifestyle. Where did your sense of adventure come from?
I don't know, because nobody else in my family is really like this. They're all real homebodies. They all still really live in Canada. And I mean, we traveled, we did family vacations often when I was a child. And so, you know, we went to like pretty exciting places like Barbados, and we went to mm-hmm. Mexico, and we did road trips. And so I think that kind of sparked the fire inside of me. And I know when I left home and I went to uni, I mean, all I wanted to do was travel when I finished school. And I did. I went and backpacked in Europe for 6 months, and then I ended up living in England for a couple of years. And so I think for me, and I actually seeked out how I came to find radiation oncology was like, I researched jobs where you could work anywhere in the world. It was kind of like these jobs where there's like nursing or radiation therapy. And so I ended up finding that particular job, and I had never even really heard about it. And I started doing some research. I was like, sounds like a pretty good job. And because my goal was I wanted to go to New Zealand. And so I ended up going back to school and studying this, and then started the paperwork to go to New Zealand. But then I met my partner. And actually, when I met him, his dream was to come to Costa Rica.
Really?
So we were on these sort of like divergent trajectories of like, well, I'm going to New Zealand. And he's like, well, I'm going to Costa Rica. And so one day we're going to get to New Zealand.
Yeah, you've done his dream. It's time for yours now.
But this is like, so now it's an amalgamation of dreams, right? And so,
So how did you guys meet?
We met at an organic food grocery store.
That's so romantic.
it was a cute, it's a cute little story. I actually was working there because I was a student. So I was working in this like really hippie granola store in the sort of nutrition and vitamin section. And he just came in one day and we started a conversation, and then 12 years later, we're still together.
Excellent. What advice would you give to someone that listens to this and goes, I want to do that. I want to chuck everything away and start again and just travel the world when COVID's over. I'm not endorsing traveling during COVID.
I would say if you have any inclination to do it, then just do it, because a life of adventure is like living outside the box is so much more fun than, you know, I tried to live that conventional life of getting a house and getting the cars and having the job. But that sort of, if you have that sense of adventure and travel within you, pursue it.
How do you overcome the fear that comes with adventure?
You do it anyway. I mean, I think there's always that element of fear and doubt and questioning, but I would say you'll never look back on travel or adventure and regret it. Even if you have some, you know, challenging or negative experiences along the way, it's all like travel for me has always been a really big opportunity for growth, meeting new people, meeting like-minded people, meeting people that think differently and live differently. And then we all just kind of inspire each other to do different things.
Yeah. You're making me want to run away to a desert island now.
We're coming to Costa Rica.
I want mango straight from the tree again.
We have a mango tree in our yard here, so.
I'm very jealous.
Yeah. You know, like having been in Africa and Zimbabwe and living rurally and living like so close to nature, I mean, it's so healing and it's so good for our minds and our souls.
Oh, completely. There's nothing, I mean, living in Scotland is obviously very different from living in the tropics, but it's, you still have that connection with Earth. So I live in a small village. I'm 500 meters away from the sea. Like when I'm stressed out, what I do is I go outside. I stand in the sea no matter how cold it is, or I go for a walk in the forest. And like, it's so amazing when you can just sit there and you've sat there so quietly that a deer walks by. And I mean, it's not an iguana or a parakeet, but it's still pretty magical when you have an animal walk past and isn't scared of you and just does its own thing. I was talking to people this morning saying like the best therapy is having an animal that can rely on you, that you can pet or look after, or getting your hands dirty in the sand and growing something. Like those small little things just bring so much joy. And I read an article, was it an article or something, where they said that in, oh no, it was from an interview this morning. They said that in New York, children are being taken out to Central Park because they, and taught how to like pull bark off of a tree or pet a frog or something, because they don't have that connection to nature.
Isn't that crazy?
I can't imagine a life where you don't have that connection to nature.
And you see, it's possible even in an urban setting, right? Like we need to get out and reconnect with the earth, like without shoes on. And you can do this even in, maybe not in winter, but you know, and that's some of the advice I give with my clients, right? I say, take your shoes off, go and stand in the grass, connect with the earth, and like close your eyes and listen to the things that you hear. And you'll be surprised. Like we don't engage all of our senses anymore. And it doesn't matter of where you're at, there's beauty around you, right? And so part of our, you know, our mission in life should be to go out and find the magic, even if it's small and even if it's, you know, seemingly silly, the magic is there if we look for it.
Definitely. In fact, the one that I had the other day, so I've been fostering dogs this past year and I had two for 2 months. And they went to their forever home on Saturday. And I was so sad, happy for them, sad for me. And so I'd driven back. I was full of tears, but I had to go to the shops. And I was waiting for them to bring something out of the shop to come to me. And there was sunshine. So I just stood there with my eyes closed and did what you said, just feel what you can feel. And it was just like feeling that sun on your face. And you're like, everything is right in the world. And then someone was smoking off in the distance, but it reminded me of being in the clubs in Africa. So I was like, I don't want to smoke, but that smells really good with the sunshine on my face. It's not the middle of winter anymore. Yeah. But those little sensations of being able to close your eyes and really, really feel what's around you. We should be teaching that in schools. We should be teaching kids to have that connection to nature and that connection to what's around them. Because we're always in our heads so much, and computers and stuff, that's still us in our heads, as opposed to being out there and getting away and stretching our legs.
Well, and they're actually finding through research now that kids are, like now this younger generation, like they're lacking the fine motor skills. Because they haven't been out engaging with nature in the way that we have been for centuries. They know how to do is like poke with one finger on their tablets, right? But they don't know how to hold pencils. By the time they get to like actual school, they haven't really spent time holding things or moving things or maneuvering. So yeah, it's essential.
I had no idea. That's quite crazy.
I mean, the average North American child spends like 5 hours a day on the screens. And I'm sure that's higher now, actually, within the last year, because they're doing schooling online as well. So, but that was like 5 hours of recreational time.
Wow. I can see why you're very strict about the amount of time that your kids spend in front of a screen.
Yeah. It's just about being balanced, right? All of us could use more balance. Yeah. Even us who work online, like it's take a break, get up, move around, go outside, get some fresh air. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm all about balance.
And I think that's where learning to listen to your body really comes in. Cause I know for myself, I can sit in front of a computer for a solid 6 hours. When I'm so engrossed in something, I'll only get up to get like cups of tea, but that's not stretching properly. And then you're back and you're like frowning. I've got this permanent frown because I frown when I concentrate. It looks like I'm trying to stab a computer or something. But you get so stiff in your body and sore. And so like learning how to have that connection to your body when it's saying, please stop. Can we get up now and walk? How can someone learn to start getting that connection again with themselves?
Well, I would say, first of all, set a timer. So if you are going to sit down and do a work, set a timer and then be committed to that practice of like when the timer goes off, even if you get up for 5 minutes, you know, you go to the loo, you go outside, get something to drink some water, because most people are chronically dehydrated. And even just do some counter stretches. Right. Or just jump around, dance. Like we need to sort of get more endorphins running in our, you know, through our bodies.
Yeah. What's your biggest piece of advice for anyone that wants to take themselves off the grid and do homeschooling, work for themselves, etc.?
Well, I would say definitely do some research, talk to people that have done it. Having a network of people that have been doing it is always helpful. Like, I'm all about support, right? So if you can find people in your life that can be there for you to support you, that's always super helpful, especially with homeschooling. There's tons of networks out there. I would say be open-minded, be patient, right? And just look at it as like from a sense of adventure of just like, this is meant to be fun, right?
Yeah. Thank you. Well, is there anything else that you want to share? Any other stories you'd like to share?
I would say, you know, at this point in time, I've actually been very quiet on social media the last couple of months, even watching this and seeing what's happening. But I would say, like, now more than ever, we need to find our people, right? And we need to create our sense of community of like-minded people that get it, and for us to have that community and not be so isolated. So,
yeah, definitely look for the groups, even if it is on social media, look for those people that have the same goals as you, the same drive as you, because we're not alone. We're meant to be in tribes. And the more people you've got that have the same values and can push you and motivate you to do more and to be a better you, we can all benefit from that. Being alone is lonely.
Yeah. And to think of things as like collaborative, right? Rather than competitive, but being collaborative and innovative. Like, if there's anything that we can take from the last year, is like, how can we innovate our lives to work for us and so that we can make choices that support us? So we can be happy and healthy and, you know, community oriented.
What? You don't have to live with stress?
Well, stress is a natural element. Even I have stress, right? But it's like, how do we manage that? How do we balance that with things that we enjoy? I think sometimes we forget that, you know, we are multidimensional beings with different interests.
Remember when the real snake was on Mr. Ramp's turn?